Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be diving into a case that really shook up the music industry and left legal experts kind of scratching their heads. It's Capitol Records, Inc. v. Thomas Rasset.
You know what's so interesting about this case?
What's that?
It throws us back to, like, the Wild West of the early internet. Like, back in the early 2000s, file sharing was just exploding, and nobody really knew how copyright law applied in this whole new digital world.
Right. And in the middle of all this was Jamie Thomas Rasset.
Yeah.
A single mother from Minnesota. She was accused of sharing, you know, all this copyrighted music on Kazaa. That was like the file sharing platform back then.
Yeah.
Seems kind of straightforward, right?
You would think so.
But no.
Not at all. This case went to trial three times.
Three times.
Three times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the damages all over the place.
Really?
First trial, $222,000.
Okay.
Second trial, they bumped it up to $1.92 million.
Oh, wow.
Then third trial brought it back down to $54,000. But guess what? The record companies actually rejected the lower amount.
Why? Why would they do that?
They wanted to make an example out of Thomas Rasset.
That's wild. Okay, so three trials. That's pretty unusual.
Very unusual.
What was going on? Why did it keep going back and forth?
The judges had some major concerns.
Like what?
Well, first off, were those huge fines even constitutional? Thomas Rasset was facing fines that, like, a giant corporation would get.
Right. It does seem a bit much for, you know, just one person.
Right.
Yeah.
The other big issue was, well, how the juries were being told to think about copyright, you know, in this new online world.
Like how they were being instructed.
Exactly. The instructions were pretty messy, led to a lot of confusion.
Oh, so that's a big problem.
Huge problem. That's why I kept going back for retrial.
Okay, so the whole legal system was trying to figure out this file sharing thing.
It was a whole new world.
Yeah.
The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals finally stepped in to try to make sense of everything. They had two huge questions to tackle. First, were these gigantic statutory damages even allowed under the Constitution? Like, did it violate due process?
Right.
Second, could the court actually stop Thomas Rasset from just making copyrighted music available online, even if they couldn't prove she actually shared it?
Oh, so that gets into the whole making available theory.
Exactly.
All right, let's break this down. First, the statutory damages. How can downloading a few songs lead to these massive fines?
Well, the Copyright Act gives judges a range of damages for each song.
Whatever, there's like a range.
Yeah, big range. At the time of the case, it was anywhere from $750,000 to $150,000 per song.
Wow. That's incredible.
It is.
So how do they justify that $222,000 fine for Thomas Rasset?
It all came down to willfulness. They said her actions were, like, intentional or at least reckless. Basically, she knew it was wrong.
But back then, everyone was downloading music. Like, it was almost expected. How could everyone be expected to know the legal ins and outs?
You're right. It was kind of a cultural phenomenon. The court did say that, look, Congress has a lot of power to set these damages, and judges aren't really supposed to mess with them unless they're completely outrageous.
So what, they're just stuck with this potentially outdated law?
That's what they were saying, yeah. They even suggested that Congress should take another look at the Copyright Act. You know, update it a bit.
So they were calling out Congress.
It definitely seemed that way. Like, hey, you made this law, now fix it.
Wow. That's pretty bold.
It was a clear sign that they felt the pressure to adapt to this new digital world.
Okay, so we talked about the damages, but what about that second big question? The making available idea.
Yes. That's where things get really interesting. So the Eighth Circuit in this case, they kind of drew a line. They said just making stuff available, like those music files, isn't enough for copyright infringement. You got to prove somebody actually downloaded them.
So like just having the files up for grabs isn't the same as actually sharing them.
Exactly. Think of it like you bake some cookies, right? You put them out on your porch with a sign that says free cookies. You're making those cookies available, but you're not forcing anyone to take one.
Right, right.
So in this case, the court was saying just having music files sitting on Kazaa ready to be downloaded isn't the same as like handing them over to someone directly.
Okay, that makes sense. So the record companies had to prove that Thomas Rasset actually shared those files.
Yep. And that's a lot harder to prove.
Yeah, I bet. Like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
More like a specific grain of sand on a beach.
Wow, yeah. So this case made it much tougher for those companies to win these file-sharing lawsuits.
Absolutely. It shifted the burden of proof onto the plaintiffs.
And I bet the music industry was not thrilled about that.
No, they were not. They wanted a much broader definition of copyright infringement. But the Eighth Circuit kind of pumped the brakes on that whole idea.
This case is like a legal thriller.
It really is.
So how did this case actually change things? Like, what are the big takeaways, especially for, you know, the lawyers listening in?
Well, first, it showed how important jury instructions are.
Right, the whole reason the case went to trial three times.
Exactly. The jury was initially told that just making music available on Kazaa was the same as distributing it. And we know now that's not true.
It's crazy how a tiny detail can have such a big impact.
It really is. This case reminds us that being clear and precise in the law is super important, especially when it comes to complicated things like, you know, copyright online. And it also raises questions about balancing copyright protection with, you know, not punishing people too harshly.
Right. Back then, a lot of people probably didn't even realize they were doing something wrong.
Yeah, they just thought everyone's doing it, so it must be okay.
Exactly. So big lesson for copyright holders, they got to have actual evidence, not just the possibility of sharing.
That's right. And for anyone thinking about file sharing, well, be careful. You could end up facing huge fines.
So a cautionary tale for both sides.
Yeah. And don't forget, the court also kind of nudged Congress, saying, hey, maybe take another look at the Copyright Act. Update it for the digital age.
Yeah, that was a pretty big move.
It was. They acknowledged that the law needed to adapt.
But did Congress actually do anything?
That's where it gets tricky. There have been attempts, but the debate continues.
Right. It's tough. Technology changes so quickly.
Exactly. It's like trying to hit a moving target.
So true. Okay, so this case, Capitol Records, Inc. v. Thomas Rassett, it's not just about some downloads. It's about how copyright law works in the digital age.
It is. And it's a case that keeps being relevant today.
It really makes you think twice before downloading anything.
It does.
But before we wrap things up, I want to talk a bit more about the music industry. They were really aggressive going after people who were file sharing. Do you think that was the right move?
That's a tough one. There are arguments on both sides. I mean, the music industry was losing a lot of money. They felt like they had to protect themselves.
Yeah, I get that. But going after a single mother, you know, someone like Thomas Rassett, it made them look bad, like bullies.
You're right. It did create a lot of bad press for them. And it might have even made people more skeptical of copyright law in general.
So maybe they didn't think about how their actions would affect people's perception of them.
It's possible. They might have underestimated that. It's a good example of how you need to think about the big picture in these situations.
They need to protect their rights, but they also need to maintain a good relationship with their fans.
For sure. This whole case shows how important it is to think about the consequences of your actions.
Right. Even when you think you're doing the right thing.
Exactly. And it reminds us that even when we're talking about justice, we have to be careful about unintended consequences. This case is a perfect example of how a seemingly simple legal battle can turn into a much bigger conversation about, you know, technology and ethics and what it means to be creative in the digital age.
That is why we love doing these deep dives. So much to uncover. But we are actually running out of time for today. Wow, we've covered a lot of ground today. Who knew copyright law could be so interesting?
It is fascinating, isn't it? And Capitol Records, Inc. v. Thomas Rassett. I mean, this wasn't just about one person downloading some music. This was like a whole snapshot of a society trying to figure out this new thing called the internet.
It really was. It made everyone think about how copyright works when, you know, anything is just a click away. And these questions are even more relevant today with streaming and all the new ways we share stuff online.
Exactly. The core issues in that case, they're still debated today. Statutory damages, what distribution really means, how to balance the rights of creators and users. It's an ongoing conversation.
So what do you think? What's the future of copyright?
Well, nobody can predict the future for sure, but I think it's safe to say copyright law is going to keep changing along with technology. We're already seeing new challenges with AI and the metaverse. It's a whole new world out there.
It's like that whack-a-mole game. One new technology pops up and the law has to adapt.
That's a great way to put it. And for lawmakers and the courts, the key is going to be finding balance.
Right.
Protecting artists and inventors while also making sure there's room for new ideas and, you know, the free flow of information. It's a tough job, but it's really important for the whole digital world to work.
Because in the end, copyright is supposed to encourage people to be creative.
Right.
If the rules are too strict or the penalties are too high, it could actually do the opposite. It could stop people from creating new things.
I agree. And that's why cases like Thomas Rassett, even though they're messy and complicated, They're so important.
They make people talk about these things.
Exactly. They make us think about how copyright actually works in the real world.
So for everyone listening, Capitol Records, Inc. v. Thomas Rasset, this case is more than just some old story about illegal downloads. It's a warning, a precedent, and it started a really important conversation about copyright law in our digital world.
It reminds us that everything we do online has consequences.
Yeah, even if we don't realize it.
Right. And the law is constantly playing catch up.
It really makes you think.
It does.
Well, on that note, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the crazy world of copyright law. We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration of something new.